Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
If you were here this morning, we talked about the three most important words that you could ever say to the Lord, which are, I love you. And we unpacked those three words together in form of a prayer and how you can tell God consistently, I love you, emphasizing each word, I love you, I love you, and I love you. This evening, as we continue with our series, again, this is an invitation to you just to draw near to God. It's not going to be our worship team. It's not going to be Chris's story. It won't be the message. It will be your intention of drawing near to God, of allowing God to speak to you, of opening your heart and your mind to the most important relationship in all of life and all of creation. And at the end of the message, when the worship team comes back up and we play, we'll have another response time, and we'll have leaders there in the back for you if you want to pray with someone, or if you want to talk to someone or receive some encouragement, some counsel, some direction, or just need to know a next step between you and the Lord. And so when we stand, we begin singing at the end of the service. That's just your cue, and you just need to hear from us. We're not manipulating anybody. We are not cajoling you, or we're not offering like Amazon gift cards if you go back or anything like that. It's just an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you. We are all, like I said this morning, we're sponges. And if you continue to soak and soak and soak without squeezing out, without releasing what you've been soaking up, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you will become stagnant, moldy, mildewy, whatever analogy you want to continue out. And so it's an opportunity for you to squeeze out your sponge, to be real, to be authentic, to take some steps of vulnerability, just to pray, invite someone else into your spiritual journey. I want to invite you this evening to turn to John chapter 15. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 11 together just for a little bit. The premise is that, like the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we're going to be examining that in another passage of Scripture this evening, that Jesus indeed delights in you, enjoys you, loves you, wants to be in a love relationship with you, even commands us to love him because it's for our good, it's for our best. So in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So this is one of the most well-known metaphors that Jesus spoke about in Scripture. This agricultural comparison. He says, my Father's the gardener, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And there is something in this passage for us this evening to experience renewal in our walk with Jesus. There's something significant here. It teaches us so much. And we could talk about this really for hours and hours and hours about some observations that we pull from this. But one of the things that we had to come to grips with is the identities that Jesus defines in this metaphor. He says his Father's the gardener, he's the vine, we're the branches. And so he begins by reminding us that one of his roles is to bring us into a love relationship with his Father. He's going to later teach the disciples to pray in this way, which for them was an earth-shattering way to pray, because Jews did not at the time pray to God in such a personal way as calling God their Father. And for Jesus to cavalierly toss out a relationship term so intimate to describe God was shocking and jarring, but he would teach his disciples to pray this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so here he lays out some identities that's important for us to grasp, is that God is our Father, and Jesus' role is to introduce us into a love relationship with his Father. John 3:16, which we quote quite often here at North Star and even this morning, God, the Father, so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. He came to introduce us into this love relationship with his Father. And so it teaches us that we relate to the Father through faith in Jesus. It's a lot of the reason why when we pray, when we finish our prayers, we won't typically just say amen. We'll say, in Jesus' name. We approach the Father on the basis of our relationship with Jesus. This is also monumental for our understanding of our relationship with Jesus, because he says he's the vine and we're the branches. And then he goes into this description and it talks about our roles, and when we fulfill our role, the result of that role. The role is simply to remain in him. And he continues this metaphor, but as we were talking this morning about the most important three words that we could say to the Lord is, I love you. That's going to become really clear as you work your way through these 11 verses. It winds up with Jesus saying, just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. It's like, think about that for a moment. The depth and beauty and majesty and magnificence that the Father's love for the Son reveals. That type of love is how much God loves you through Christ. You aren't just marginally loved. You're not just tolerated by God. You're not just kind of welcomed into the kingdom by the hair of your chinny chin chin. You are lavishly loved with the same love that the Father loves the Son. It is astonishing, and it doesn't seem right or fair that we who are sinners should be so deeply loved. It's because the Father sent the Son so that when he died on the cross, my sins, your sins, could be atoned for and forgiven. And so we are fully welcomed. We're not stepchildren into the kingdom. We are welcomed into this beautiful, stupendous, amazing, magnificent love relationship with God through faith in Christ Jesus. But it's important for us to understand this remain concept, because when you look at this agricultural metaphor that Jesus is speaking about, we know that when you break off a branch,
there's no longer any nutrients flowing to that branch. The branch is going to wither and die. And so the most important thing that a branch can do if it's going to fulfill its purpose is remain connected to that vine. Because if you don't remain connected to that vine, you are not going to produce fruit. You will not be healthy. You will wither, stagnate, and you will die. And so the meaning is really clear, is that our only role is by performing, but we remain in Jesus by adoring him. The performing comes, that works, the obedience comes because of our changed nature. Because the Holy Spirit dwelling within us motivates us, and he transforms us from the inside out. Obedience wells up in us as fruitfulness from remaining connected to the vine. But the most important thing is not to prioritize obedience in your life. The most important thing is to prioritize love. That when you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, the Holy Spirit begins to transform you from the inside out, and obedience wells up in you, and you start bearing the fruit of your obedient, loving, surrendered walk. But we often get confused about the source, don't we? Electricity was supplied by a little generator that would supply electricity to the hut and to the neighboring church building. And so they would be able to have night meetings in this place because of the electricity there. But one afternoon, two men from another distant village came to visit the church, and they were completely astonished and amazed by the light in the church that was being emitted from one single light bulb hanging from the middle of the room. And so as they were preparing to go back to their village a few days later, they asked, "Do you have a light bulb that we could take back just to show to our village?" And they happened to have a light bulb. They kept extra light bulbs, and so they said, "Of course." So they sent these two men back to their village with this light bulb. Some months later, missionaries journeyed to this village also to preach the gospel, spread the news about Christ, and they were stunned when they walked into the man's hut, who received them with such hospitality, because there, dangling from the center of the room on a string, was that light bulb. And they said, "We don't think ours works." I think a lot of Christians are actually like that. Is we think that we understand the impact of light, but we don't grasp the impact of connection, of remaining connected to the source. Not only do we not understand the connectedness required to experience God's deliverance and his activity in our life, but the reality of it is sometimes we try to place ourselves in the wrong role, because we don't understand where the power comes from. Chris, it's a little bit about what you were saying earlier, is you tried to do it in your own strength for so many times. And I think we too sometimes will default to attempting to live the Christian life in our own strength, with our own just forceful devotion and dedication. And we neglect and we fail to remain connected to the only source that will light you up, the only source that will produce fruit in our lives. Andrew Murray has a quote, and you'll see it on the screen behind me, but Andrew Murray says this: "You are the branch. You need be nothing more. You need not for one single moment of the day take upon you the responsibility of the vine. You need not leave the place of entire dependence and unbounded confidence." If you want to experience renewal, if you want to experience God's activity freshly in your life, it's simply returning to a sincere, pure affection and devotion for Jesus, of remaining in Him, of walking in a love relationship and fellowship with Him. You see, Jesus does it all in our life when we simply seek to stay in loving fellowship with Him. Jesus does all the work. His Holy Spirit comes to live within you to transform you from the inside out. It's not your energy, it's not your motivation, it's not your determination. It's His. He produces fruit in you when you remain connected to Him. I think it's also powerful that in John 15, it talks about if any branch does not bear fruit, it's broken off and thrown into the fire. See, what happens is we become evaluated by our fruit, by the fruitfulness in our life. And for some of us, it terrifies us, this passage, because we think, oh, does that mean I might lose my salvation? And that's not at all what this is teaching. Rather, what it's teaching is these branches didn't bear fruit to begin with. They weren't connected to the vine. That's why they're broken off. They were unhealthy from the very, very beginning. But really what this means is this is not an evaluation of the performance of the branch. It's an evaluation of the dependence of the branch. The branch wasn't condemned because it didn't bear fruit. The branch was condemned because it didn't depend upon the vine. Remaining with Jesus means being connected to the love of God revealed to us in Christ. And when we stay connected to Jesus, this passage teaches us that His joy will be given to us. It will well up within us, that we will find our lives complete with joy. It's like when you're walking in fellowship and surrendered love to Jesus and you're enjoying Him, you will discover this well of joy that continually bubbles up from within you. One of my favorite passages, in fact, sometimes when I'll sign something or things like that, I'll just write underneath my signature, Nehemiah 8:10. And I want to read this passage to you and tell you why it's significant. And it has some context, but in Nehemiah chapter 8, we'll begin in verse 7. Nehemiah 8:7. So here's the context. Is the Jews had come back from Babylonian captivity and they begun to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. They're later going to rebuild the temple. And in this particular passage, Ezra is there, not as our Ezra, but Ezra is there, Nehemiah is there, and they're going to read God's word, and it's going to reduce the people of Israel to tears, just the pure reading of God's word. So this is the passage, and you're probably going, oh, I cannot wait for him to attempt to read all of these words and names. Well, there's a bunch of Levites. That's all I'm going to say. They were all Levites. And they explained the law to the people as they stood in their places. They read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, "Go and eat what is rich, drink what is sweet, send portions to those who have nothing prepared, because this day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." That's Nehemiah 8:10. That's one of my very favorite verses. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why is that your favorite verse? Well, what that reveals to me is that God is a joyful God. That God overflows in joy. And when I set my heart to enjoy God, I am filled with His joy, not manufactured joy of my own. And it echoes this thought from Jesus where He says, "I've told you these things so that my joy," again, Jesus is joyful. We have a joyful God. "So that my joy may be in you, and so that your joy may be complete." So as we sit here on a Sunday evening and our renewal service. You know, for me, Sunday night church was something I just grew up with. I don't know about any of you, but Sunday night church for me usually meant youth choir and then a hamburger supper that was scarfed down and then the Sunday night service. And I grew up doing Sunday night church. And for most of you, you're probably like, this is weird. Sunday night church. But you won't receive anything from being here tonight if you just came to sing some songs, listen to a really articulate, vulnerable testimony, and expect this pastor to attempt to motivate you spiritually. The only thing that you will receive from tonight is just about 45 minutes of not getting to watch one of the playoff games. But if you are here this evening in this moment saying, I need the Lord in my life today as much as I've ever needed Him, and I want to experience Him in a fresh way, and in just a moment when we stand and sing, it'll be your opportunity just to go back and tell someone that. Say, will you pray with me? I want to be renewed. I want my life to be connected to the source, to the power. I want, when people look at me, I want them to want what I have in King Jesus. I want my life to be compelling, to be attractive, to be contagious because I'm connected to the vine. Because it's not me, but that through me being connected to a love relationship with Jesus, fruitfulness is coming off my life. Paul would say to the Galatians, it's this fruitfulness of love and joy and peace and goodness and faith and just the fruit of the Spirit just come popping out of our life when we walk in a love relationship with God. And we become sincerely attractive to people. We become lights that work because we're connected to the source of power. So I want to invite our worship team to go ahead and make their way back up as we prepare to sing. But I think one of the practical things for you this evening, we talked about praying a very simple three-word prayer this morning of, I love you. Tonight I want to give you one more very simple practical thing, but it will mean a daily discipline for you that I promise will continue to renew you, and that is to read your Bible. And you're like, ah, that's all you got? The biblical illiteracy among Christians in our generation is astonishing. I want to invite you to read your Bibles daily. I want to invite you to start in the book of Matthew. Just read a section each day or a chapter each day. But read it with the mindset that you want to love Jesus more. That you want to discover His love for you in what you're reading. What does this passage say about how much God loves me? What does this passage say about what the length that God has gone to demonstrate His love for me? Could it really be that the cross was the ultimate declaration that sin has been defeated, that death has been destroyed, and that you might enjoy forgiveness through simple faith in Christ? It's what we teach. It's what we say we believe, but are you experiencing the fruitfulness, the joy, and the affection for God that comes from that realization? John Piper says this about reading, and really it's all about planning to read. So I can say read your Bible, but if you don't plan to read your Bible, you're not going to do it. So he says this, so my plea to you is that you set aside time each week to plan, especially to plan your life of prayer and Bible study. Give some thought to how God might want to use you that week in a special way. Plan the letters you need to write, the Bible verses you want to teach your children, the visit that you want to make, the book you want to read, the neighbor you want to talk to, etc. The Proverbs teach us to plan. The greatest missionary who ever lived was a planner. And God is a God who does all things according to a plan. And Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem because of the most loving plan ever devised. He planned for our joy, and so we ought to plan for his glory. I want to encourage you, don't let some kind of momentary motivation fade away in the light of day on Monday. Like, yeah, I need to read my Bible. Plan. When will you read it? What will you read? When will you start? And do it again on Tuesday, and do it again on Wednesday. And what you're going to discover is that you don't need to depend upon a service that we've constructed to help renew you, because God wants to meet you each and every day. He loves you so much. And as you set aside time to dive into his word, you're going to discover that you're also stepping into his heart. And his heart beats with love for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for this time that we've had as your people to come together and to worship you, to hear from one another in testimony, to look at your word tonight, to try to remind ourselves of how much you love us in Jesus. And God, more than anything, we ask that tonight you would continue this process of renewing our hearts and lives in you. You would refresh us. And Lord, if there is someone here tonight that has never made a decision to follow you, we pray that this evening that they would make that decision, that they would turn their life over to you. They would take steps to ask you to come in. Lord, for those of us who've known you for a long time, Lord, we talked about this morning, the hurts and the dirts of this world just seem to cake us. They seem to dust our souls. And Lord, we want to be fresh and clean and pure before you. And so we ask, in these moments, Lord, that we ask that you would just set us ablaze in love. Overwhelm us with how much you love us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.